Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. Thank God for the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. I welcome you to another episode on Everyday with Jesus podcast. This is episode 101. Hallelujah. Episode 101. And yesterday we saw from the Bible how that in the Old Testament God made promises concerning the new covenant. And one of such promises is how in the new covenant, God will not hide his face from men because of their sins. God is not going to withdraw from men. So the idea of fellowship being broken because of something missing in the life of a believer, because of an error, an omission, or a trespass or sin, is unscriptural. Praise God. We're able to clearly explain Isaiah 59 verses 1 to 3. How that is Old Testament description of men who were still in sin. Men who were yet to be saved. That's why the Bible says the hand of the Lord is not too short to save. For those who have been saved, the story is not that of God withdrawing himself. It's not that of them being separated from him because of their sins. It's a story of reconciliation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and has committed to us, not counting their sins to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Glory to God. God has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And then one of the things we saw yesterday also is how that the promises of God in the new covenant are unconditional promises. That is, you don't have a part to play. You don't have an obligation to fulfill. Praise God. You only are meant to receive. That is why believing is receiving. Praise God. Believing is receiving. They can be used as substitutes. When I say believe in Christ, I mean receive Christ. Praise God. That's why the Bible says in John 1, 11 to 12, he came to his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. Those who received him were those who believed on his name. The receiving is not a physical, you know, hosting Jesus in your house or entertaining him. Some of those guys even hosted him physically in their houses, yet they did not receive him, because the receiving is believing in what Jesus has done. Glory to God. So let's see Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews in chapter 6, what Bible says concerning the promises of God in Christ Jesus, the nature of the promises of God in the new covenant. Hebrews chapter 6, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll read from verse 13. Bible says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. Hallelujah. He swore by himself. Verse 14, saying, surely blessing, I'll bless you, and multiplying, I'll multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Listen, because it's called a promise, you don't have to do anything to get it. Hallelujah. It is not a commandment. If it was a commandment, then you need to do something. But it's a promise. When men promise to do something, we wait on them. We wait for them to fulfill the things they've said, to fulfill their promise. Now, if they have integrity, they are going to fulfill it. If they don't have integrity, then we are going to wait forever. Sometimes they have integrity, they don't have the capacity. Hallelujah. But thank God, God has integrity and he has the ability to do what he has promised. So it's called a promise. A promise. A promise is not something given to you so you can do something to merit. No. When a promise is made, the fulfillment of the promise is dependent on the ability and the faithfulness of the one who has promised. Hallelujah. So the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen, not because of anything we have done, but because God is faithful. Hallelujah. I'm going to see 2 Corinthians 1. That's exactly what Paul was teaching there. How that the promises of God are fulfilled because God is faithful. God is faithful. He has integrity. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 6 again. So he says, surely blessing, I'll bless you, and multiplying, I'll multiply you. If you contrast this with Deuteronomy 28, that says, if you diligently hearken to the Lord, to the voice of the Lord your God, and then, you know, to obey him in all, you know, the commandments and all that. He says, you'll be blessed if you go out in the city. If you're blessed, you'll be blessed when you come in and all that. So you discover that that particular kind of blessing was conditional. It was conditional upon their obedience. Hallelujah. It was based on their obedience. If you diligently hearken to the Lord, to the voice of the Lord your God. Now, this is different because when God spoke to Abraham, God did not say, if you diligently do this or that. He says, surely, blessing, I'll bless you. Surely, in multiplying, I'm going to multiply you. Bible says, he swore by himself. Now, look at what Bible says at verse 16. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all disputes. Thus, God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. The word immutability there speaks of an unchangeable nature. Hallelujah. The unchangeable nature of the counsel of God, of the promise of God. It says, God wanting to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, the immutability, the unchangeableness of his promise, of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, by that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. He says, the reason why God swore by himself, the reason why God made a promise and says, surely I'll bless you and surely I'll multiply you, is so that you and I can have a strong consolation in that promise of God. That is, so we can have assurance. Hallelujah. Verse 18 again, Bible says that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Hallelujah. By two immutable things. What are the two immutable things? According to this context, the two immutable things are the promises of God, the promise of God, and the oath. Praise God. So he says we should have strong consolation in the fact that, see, God made promise to us and swore by himself. Praise God. So you are not required to do anything to receive the promise. And if you read through the New Testament very well, you find that the word promise, promised, promises are very prominent words. Hallelujah. I see that word promise as used in the New Testament is the word that means a pledge of divine assurance. Hallelujah. A pledge of divine assurance. We're going to look through this, you know, in this study. Promise. We're going to see this as we study, you know, further on forgiveness of sin, salvation. Promises. The reason why the word promise is used to define what we have in Christ Jesus is because we are only meant to receive the fulfillment. Praise God. The fulfillment of the promise is not dependent on us. The fulfillment of the promise is not dependent on your own faithfulness. It is dependent on the faithfulness of the one who made the promise. Hallelujah. So the Old Testament books contain the promissory notes, and then the New Testament is to be seen as the receipt of the fulfillment of the promises of God. Hallelujah. It's been done. So we don't try to merit the promises of God. We don't try to do something to receive the promises of God. What we are meant to do is to simply believe in him that has promised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Hebrews again. Hebrews chapter 6. Now look at verse 19. Bible says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Did you see that? It is sure. It is steadfast. The hope we have in Christ Jesus, it is sure. It is steadfast. Hallelujah. That is, it is unwavering. It's fixed. It is stable. It is steadfast. It will not change. It says, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Praise God. So it says the hope we have in Christ Jesus as a result of this promise of God, this unconditional promise of God, this promise made with an oath. It says this hope is actually an anchor for our souls. Hallelujah. And that this hope is sure and steadfast. Like I said, the word steadfast means stable, firm. So an anchor for our souls. What is an anchor? Literally, sailors understand an anchor to be those things they throw down from the ship for them, you know, to keep the ship stable. Maybe the ship wants to stay in a spot, then they throw it down. Then they fasten the ship to the ground. And then it holds the ship and keeps it from being tossed to and fro and, you know, carried away. And then it stays it. Praise God. Now, metaphorically, the word anchor here actually means a safeguard. It means the hope we have in Christ Jesus as a result of the fulfillment of the promise of God to us in him is an anchor, is a safeguard for our souls. We are not the ones trying to safeguard our lives. The hope itself, the salvation we have received, is the safeguard for our lives. Glory to God. So the promise of God is a safeguard for our lives because the promise itself is unconditional. We didn't do anything to get it. Listen, if we actually have to do anything to secure this blessedness, to secure this promise of God, to secure this hope, then the Bible will not say that this hope is sure and steadfast. Hallelujah. Look at it again. Hebrews 6, 18 to 19, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, have you seen that it links the assurance to the two immutable things? It links the assurance to God alone. By two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. So it is only based on God's integrity, God's faithfulness, his promise and oath. Hallelujah. That is the reason why we have strong consolation and we have taken refuge in the promise of God. Verse 19, this hope we have as an anchor for the soul, that is a safeguard for our souls, both sure and steadfast. The word sure there is actually the word secure. Hallelujah. It is secure. Steadfast means stable. Praise God. If it is dependent on our works, then we can refer to it as being sure and steadfast. Hallelujah. Because we know that humans cannot be predicted. Glory to God. You can be faithful today, unfaithful tomorrow. You can be faithful for 10 years and unfaithful for one day. Now, as much as the Bible instructs us to be steadfast, to be faithful in our commitment, to be unwavering in the things we do, now, most times, people assume that the Bible is crediting to man the status of infallibility. That's not true. Praise God. It is only God that is infallible. It is only God you can't find fault in his actions, in his ways. It's only God you can go to bed and wake up and be sure that every time you go to bed and wake up, you still meet God consistent. Only God. God is the only one you can guarantee this for. Hallelujah. For us, the idea of spiritual growth in itself shows that we are not perfect in our actions. If we are perfect in our actions, spiritual growth is unnecessary. Hallelujah. Listen to how Paul says, you know, after years of ministry, Paul says, the things I forget the things that are past, I have not attained. So, Paul, Apostle Paul, when are you going to attain? Praise God. We are not going to attain till we leave this world. Glory to God. We'd always need to strive for maturity, strive for being better. There's always going to be room for more, for improvement, for being better in our work. You see, God does not improve. He's the same. Hallelujah. So God cannot hand over the security of salvation to men who cannot be perfect in their ways once for all. Hallelujah. You know, we are talking about perfection positionally in Christ Jesus, but we are talking about our ways now. No man is perfect in all his ways, once and for all. Only God has that kind of attribute. Now, praise God. We are going to come into that state when we get into our immortal bodies, into our glorious state, fully, in the which it's impossible to stumble and to make errors. Glory to God. So, we have assurance only based on the mutability of God's counsel. Hallelujah. The unchangeableness of the counsel of God and the integrity of God in the which he has done what he has promised to do in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The blessings of God in Christ Jesus are to be distinguished and differentiated from the blessings promised under the old covenant. Praise God. Those blessings were conditional. The blessings that we have in Christ Jesus are unconditional. Praise God. Unconditional. So it is, I will do. It is, I will do. It is not, I will do if you do. It is, I will do. And that's it. Full stop. Hallelujah. I will bless you. And that's all. I will. And that's all. You have no part to play than to receive, than to believe in the promises made and to receive them. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll read from verse 19. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. Have you seen? That is, God in Christ Jesus is not saying yes and no. It doesn't say yes, forgiveness today, and then tomorrow he says no. It doesn't say yes to righteousness, and then he says no. It doesn't say yes, you are secure, then tomorrow he says no, you are no longer secure. It doesn't say yes, you are forgiven, and then he says no, you are not really forgiven. It is not yes and no. It is yes. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Yes. And then he says, for all the promises of God, verse 20, in him are yes and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Have you seen? To the glory of God through us. The promises of God have been fulfilled, done in Christ Jesus. And it is not yes and no. God does not change his mind. What he has said remains said. What he has done remains done. Whom he has approved remains approved. Whom he has called remains called. Whom he has justified remains justified in Christ Jesus. What he has done cannot be altered, annulled, or cancelled. It is done. Glory to Jesus. So we can always trust the promises of God. We can always trust everything God has said he has done in Christ Jesus. We can always trust everything God says he will do. Hallelujah. So let's see a few of those things again that establish the fact that fellowship is never broken. The Spirit of God does not depart. God will never hide his face from us in Christ Jesus ever again. God will never do that. Praise God. Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20. Glory to Jesus. We can trust the word of God. God is not a man that he should lie. Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20. Praise God. Look at this now. Bible says, and he came to them and said to them, hallelujah. Matthew 28, 18. And he came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, this is a promise. It doesn't say, I'm with you if you obey. I'm with you if you do this. No, it's a promise. I'm going to be with you. Hallelujah. I'm going to be with you. There's no condition. This is something he has said he will do because he has chosen to do it. Hallelujah. It's a promise. I'm with you till the end of the age. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, this is a new covenant reality. So it is not so much of Jesus trying to make a promise that he will try to fulfill. This is a blessing in the new covenant. For having the Spirit of God, Jesus is always with us. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. We have the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Son. Romans 8 verse 9. Bible says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, and if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. Galatians 4 verse 6. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba Father. Hallelujah. So what Jesus is saying at Matthew 28 is not him trying to make an extra promise. It's just restating the fact of the new covenant. The Holy Ghost abides with us forever. Jesus is with us forever because we are born again. Praise God. Let's see Hebrews 13 verse 5. Hebrews 13 verse 5, Bible says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is God speaking. I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, I want you to develop the habit of trusting God's word over your emotions, over your feelings. Don't be the sort of Christian that says, I don't feel God is here. I don't think God is here. I'm not feeling him. I'm not feeling him. It's not about feelings. It's about taking God at his word. Hallelujah. If words are anything to go by, this is assurance spelled out so clearly and loudly. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. There are no conditions attached. There are no conditions attached. It is because of who you are, and it is because of where you are in Christ Jesus. You are a Christian, a believer, a carrier of the Spirit of God, a carrier, a possessor of the nature of God. Hallelujah. God cannot leave you. Praise God. Remember what we read in Ezekiel? I will never hide my face from them because I will have poured out my Spirit upon them. And I said to you that wherever the Spirit of God is, the attention of God will always be there. God cannot take his eyes off his Spirit. Praise God. It's impossible. So he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You need to really chew these scriptures. Hallelujah. Especially if you've spent your life in religion for many years, spent your life in religious circles where they always teach that the Holy Ghost can leave you, God can forsake you if you fall into sin. If you spent a great deal of your life in those places, these are scriptures you need to sit down with on a daily basis and meditate upon. Let them dwell in you richly. Let them take over your thoughts and your meditation. Let them really renew your mind. Praise God. You need to renew your mind. What is the renewal of the mind? You need to think differently from how you used to think. You must allow the word of God be the basis of how you think towards God. Be the foundation of your thoughts towards God and about yourself. Who God says you are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is complete assurance in one sentence. Glory be to God. or in one statement. Glory to God. Look at this. Do you know, he was quoting from the Old Testament. Amazingly, when God said this to Jacob, he indeed never forsook him. God said this to Jacob. He says, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you till I have fulfilled everything I have told you. And God was with Jacob till the end of time. Imagine this. A man that was not even in Christ. A man that was yet to believe in the gospel. At this point in time, when God was making this promise to him, he hadn't even believed in the gospel. Genesis 28 from verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, and the land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east and to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Praise God. Listen now. Look at verse 16. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. Look at verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will give me and keep me in this way that I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I'll surely give a tenth to you. See, everything Jacob said as a response to God actually shows that Jacob was an unbelieving man. He did not know God before this time. Hallelujah. God made a promise to you, a whole God. He says to you, I'll be with you till I will not leave you till I have fulfilled everything I have said. You're now saying, well, if you do it, this is my vow. If you do it indeed, then I'll do this, I'll do this. This pillar will be your house. What do you mean? God does not dwell in temples made with hands. Solomon even built a big house, and he says God cannot dwell in it. You now put down a stone, you put oil on it, you say this will be God's house. What do you mean? What an insult. He was an ignorant man. He knew nothing about God. Hallelujah. But you know what? God had chosen him to be the lineage, to further the lineage of the seed. God had given him the exact promise he gave to Abraham. In you, the whole families of the earth shall be blessed. God had given him the exact promise he gave to Isaac, his father. God had passed the same on to him. Look at Romans chapter 9. Praise God. Imagine Jacob actually put down a stone, then he put oil on it. Do you know that's pagan practice? That was how they deified places for idols. So that action was not informed by a knowledge of God. And yet this was the man that God promised to never leave nor forsake, because he had chosen him. Romans chapter 9, I'll read from verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by her father Isaac, for the children not yet been born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Hated, that is, we've said this many times, it's a language of priority. I have preferred Jacob to Esau as the one to further the lineage of the seed. You know, God gave promise to Abraham. He passed it on to Isaac. Then Isaac gave birth to Jacob and Esau. And then only one man would be able to further the lineage of the seed. Jesus couldn't have come from both Esau and Jacob. He had to be just one person. So God had to prefer one. God had to choose one above the other. And then he chose Jacob. The Bible says it was not because of anything they had done. They had not done good or evil when God made this choice. So it wasn't based on their character. It wasn't based on anything at all. Praise God. So God had chosen Jacob. And because of that choice of Jacob, before they were born, God had chosen to not leave him nor forsake him. And that was it. Hallelujah. Guess what? God never left Jacob. He never. God was with him till the end of time. He was faithful to his word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. He said the same thing to Joshua. I will never leave you. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. So not only can we just read in the New Testament about the fact that God will not leave nor forsake us and then hold his word and take his word to be what it means. God also has shown us that he has a proven track record. Once he says he will never leave a man, he will never leave him. Praise God. Joshua 1:5, Bible says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will also be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. He said the same to Joshua, I will not leave you nor forsake you. And God never left him. God never forsook him till the end of his mission, till the end of his task and assignment as a leader in Israel. God never forsook him. God was always with him. God stayed true to his word. Glory to God. So God has a proven track record. If he has said he will never leave you, then he will never leave you. God is not a man that should lie. We saw this yesterday, Numbers 23:19. God is not man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. God will not change his mind concerning what he has done and what he has said. Praise God. Look at Titus chapter 1 verse 2. Titus chapter 1 verse 1 to 2. Praise God. God is not man. He does not lie. Hallelujah. He doesn't lie. He doesn't deceive people. Once he says he's going to be for you, then he'll be for you till the end of time. Titus chapter 1 verse 1 to 2. Bible says, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which are caught with godliness in hope of eternal life. Verse 2, which God who cannot lie promised before time began. Have you seen? God who cannot lie. Praise God. God who cannot lie. Hallelujah. God who cannot lie. God, he cannot lie. He can't deceive people. Once he says he's going to do it, then he will do it. Once he says he has done it, then he has done it. Once he says he will not do something, then he will not. Once he says I will not hide my face, then he will not hide his face. Once he says I will never leave you nor forsake you, then he will never leave you nor forsake you, no matter what happens. God will never leave you nor forsake you. Your friends may forsake you. Your neighbors may forsake you. Even your parents can forsake you. Your spouse may forsake you. But God will never forsake you nor leave you in Christ Jesus. You've been joined to the Lord. It's one spirit. It's a union. It's a fellowship that will last forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you can always rest in this assurance. You can always rest in this assurance. You can rely absolutely on the word of God. You can learn to rest in what God has said. Praise God. Against all odds, all feelings, all emotions, against what people are saying. Hallelujah. Someone said to me, I know the day the Holy Ghost left me. I just felt it. Fear. The Holy Ghost. What do you mean? That sounds like a witch or a demon. The Holy Ghost doesn't jump out of people like that. The Holy Ghost is here to stay forever. Glory to God. You don't feel, just the same way you didn't feel the Holy Ghost coming to you the day you were saved. It's spiritual. You don't say, I feel the Holy Ghost coming to me now. It's just your feeling. That's the same way you can't be telling me you feel that the Holy Ghost has left you. Drop those feelings and stay and cling to the word of God. God's word is the final authority on matters of doctrine. What God has said in his word is what he is saying today. Hallelujah. God will not give you a different spirit or a different feeling or a different experience or vision to show you something contrary to his word. That's why the way to judge every other experience and emotion and feeling is by the word of God. We subject them to the scrutiny of the word of God. If they do not stand the test of the word of God, then we discard them as false. Praise God. You must avoid a lot of dramas in the body of Christ, a lot of dramas in the church. People having all kinds of scary visions and dreams and experiences, and they are teaching the saints from those experiences. You must shun those experiences and latch onto the word of God. God's word is the truth. God's word is the truth. God's word is the final authority. God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Hallelujah. God will never leave nor forsake you in Christ Jesus. The believer is in an eternal fellowship, an eternal bond with the Father. Nothing separates him. Not sin, not unrighteousness, not his feelings, not his emotions, not his inconsistencies. In his unfaithfulness, God is yet faithful to him. In his unfaithfulness, God remains faithful to him. In his inconsistency, God is always consistent towards him. This is the blessing we have received in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. God is always for us. God is always with us. God is always in us at all times, in all places. If there's any place you don't want God to go, don't go. Because if you go, you are going with God. There's nowhere you will be that God is not with you. Hallelujah. Always, you are the temple of the Spirit of God, where God dwells. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are a carrier of his spirit. You are a possessor of his nature. You are joined to him. This is what the Bible teaches. I know it sounds too good to be true, but you know what? It is also very, very, very true. It sounds too good to be true, but it is the truth of the Word of God. Hallelujah. It is the truth of the Word of God. You have before you today the words of men or the Word of God. You have before you today the words of men or the Word of God. Choose ye this day whom you believe. For me, I want to counsel and encourage you to pitch your tent with the Word of God. I've chosen to stay with the Word of God. I made this decision over a decade ago. I've not regretted it for a day. I've made this decision over a decade ago. I've not regretted it for a day. To stay with the Word of God. To choose the Word and to esteem the Word of God above the words of men, above the experiences of men, above the visions of men, above dreams of men. See, there is nobody on the face of the earth today that can tell me anything contrary to the Word of God and I will believe him and teach the Word of God. No, I will choose the Word of God and throw his Word and trash his words because I've come to believe that the Word of God is the final authority in matters of doctrine. Glory to God. God's Word is the final authority. Listen, even if I have a dream contrary to the Word of God, I'm going to discard the dream and hold on to the Word of God. God's Word is the only safe ground. Hallelujah. It's the only safe ground. We must learn to trust the Word above all else. You must trust the Word above yourself. Praise God. Trust the Word above your feelings, above what men say and what men are saying, and above what men have said, and above what you have said, what you have taught, what you have said, what you are saying. You must esteem the Word above everything. And we have the Word of God in this matter. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will not hide my face from you, because I will have poured my Spirit upon you. We have his Word. Let us hold fast to his Word. Hallelujah. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow, Every Day with Jesus. Invite your friends, family members, schoolmates, anybody at all, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of prayers, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.